We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. Not with me, Jack Manuel, but special fill-in, Corey Waldron, my co-host on the NBA Outlet. What's up, Corey? How you doing?
Pretty good, Nick. I think every time I've been on their Brooklyn Buzz, the Nets have won. I think this is a trend. I think I'm 3-0 now on this podcast.
I know there is one loss, the Bucks. The Bucks game.
Ah, damn. Oh, you're right, the Bucks game. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a blowout. Maybe it's like always a blowout type of thing.
Oh, that's true. Maybe that is the case.
But big win for the Nets. You know, they snapped the losing streak. Won tonight, 127-88 against the Mavs at home. Really brought the intensity. Just overall, a bounce-back win for the team.
For sure. I was actually looking at their schedule. Now they got the Cavaliers up next on Wednesday, the Hawks on Saturday. And then now on Monday, March 11th, a week from now, they have what seems to be a really big matchup against the Detroit Pistons, who also have been playing really good since the All-Star break.
Definitely. They have this Cleveland and Atlanta game. You know, Cleveland, they can probably take care of, especially if they play like they did tonight. Atlanta's going to make you earn that win. And then, like you said, Detroit, that's a crucial win for both teams. You know, they're trying to determine who's going to have what seed. And, you know, if you land in that sixth seed, you might get a more favorable matchup. Who knows? You know, at the top of the East is still pretty good, but you definitely want to see the Nets come out with a lot of intensity like they played tonight over the next three.
For sure. So obviously the Nets were on a three-game losing streak. They come out huge tonight with a nice win. I know Joe Harris did a little ankle break-in for Luka Doncic. D'Lo looked good. I know Damari Carroll couldn't miss. What were some of your takeaways from tonight's big win?
I thought, first off, you know, the Nets weren't necessarily great for the first, like, 2 minutes of the game. Kenny Atkinson called a quick timeout. And from that point on, the engagement and the energy completely changed. Like offensively, they started to push in sync. You saw a lot more inside cuts, a lot more movement from guys penetrating and just playing harder. Obviously, knocking down shots. You mentioned Amari Carroll. He was hot. You know, they also made a big lineup change today. Alan Crabb started and Rodion Krewicz started. You know, Trevion Graham was out, so he was not starting. And then Caris LeVert went to the bench, which I thought worked out really well because you had Caris and Spencer Dinwiddie attacking off the bench with Damari Carroll knocking down three. So I thought the bench unit really dominated this game as well. Then overall, defensively, they just did a great job of putting a body on the Mavs. Even like Luka early in the first half, they were denying the ball from him and just making his life miserable.
How about Ronnie's Kirkus?
Rodion Krewicz, yeah.
Rodion Krewicz, how has he been? I mean, that the stat line looks nice. I mean, 5 for 7 from three in the starting lineup. How big is his role going to be down the stretch here?
Yeah, he hit a little bit of a slump before All-Star break, and then he's starting to come back. And, you know, a lot of people are advocating for him to start over Trevion Graham, and that happened tonight. It looks like Kenny's going to probably have to roll with this lineup moving forward. No offense to Trevion. He just hasn't been playing well. Rodion's had a great game. You know, he just brings something different at the four. Very athletic, great wingspan, helps on the boards, and he's a fearless guy. He's willing to kind of attack the rim and try to dunk on anybody. And you saw tonight, 5 of 7 from three.
For sure. I mean, is that probably the best case scenario for that starting lineup is the fact that now there's so many floor spacers?
Yeah, you could argue that could possibly be one of their best starting lineups. I mean, it's tough to say. Like, the bench lineup is really good, too. So it's just a combination of different things. I think the spacing with the starting lineup gives D'Angelo a ton of room to operate. And you saw Jared Allen get a couple alley-oops just because you can't really pull off Allen Crabbe or Joe Harris.
Now, talking about the bench unit, obviously some of their biggest producers tonight, Damari Carroll, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert all coming off the bench. How has Spencer Dinwiddie looked since his coming back from injury? A nice game tonight, just 20 minutes, you know, 16 points, 6 of 8 shooting. What have you saw from Spencer Dinwiddie in his short amount of games back?
You know, Spencer luckily only had a thumb injury, so he was able to stay well-conditioned. You can kind of see that in the games back. Attacking the rim has not been a problem. Tonight, his jump shot looked a little bit smoother, but, you know, he has that speed. He has the ability to kind of isolate a big and attack the rim, and he just pretty much dominated whenever he got that one-on-one with any Mavs big.
For sure. And then Damari Carroll, I mean, what more can you say about him? A guy who, what did he start, 5 for 5 from three for this game?
Yeah, he was just huge, you know. It just Damari's been a guy consistent for the Nets for almost the last two seasons. Jack and I were just talking about, you know, some games he's going to shoot really well, but he just does a ton of the little things. You know, there's a couple parts in this game early on where, you know, D'Lo hit him in the corner, wasn't a great look, so he drove inside, hit Jared Allen. Damari's just the guy that you love to have on your team.
For sure. And then Caris LeVert, obviously working back from his what seemed to be almost a devastating injury. Still no joke of an injury. Working his way back, he had a tough night against the Washington Wizards the other week. Hasn't necessarily been putting up the huge scoring output numbers. I know he did have a block, I mean, an inadvertent elbow block to Kemba Walker a few weeks ago as well. What have you seen from Caris LeVert since coming back from injury?
I think working with the second unit is kind of allowing him to get that confidence back up because he's able to take a lot of guys off the dribble, get inside, you know, make those plays. I think the jumper is the thing that's kind of out of rhythm right now. Slightly out of control once in a while, but tonight was probably one of his best games back. Also, the defensive energy he brings and that hustle, that wingspan and athleticism, something the Nets really missed.
For sure. Now, looking at the other side real quickly, what did you like about a guy like Luka Doncic? Obviously, he's the talk-about rookie right now in the NBA. Was he everything you expected watching him go against the Nets tonight?
I thought, you know, the Nets really did a good job of taking him out of the game. You know, they were denying the ball from him, giving him double teams, and just making his life miserable. It seemed like Spencer Dinwiddie, when he came off the bench, just had some extra juice defensively on Luka. You know, I think the one play that stuck out prior to halftime around the buzzer at, like, the 0.4 mark, he hit a half-court shot for three, and he made it look easy. So Luka was okay tonight. You know, I've watched him a lot this season, and this definitely wasn't one of his best games.
For sure. I mean, just a dominating performance by the Nets. I mean, Dallas only shooting 35% from the field, being out-rebounded by the Nets 48-36. What is your biggest critique of a game like tonight? Despite the Nets winning big, you know, what could they work on going forward?
You know, there's not a ton to say. And, you know, I will say this too. Dallas just isn't a great team. You know, a lot of guys, their front court was pretty bad tonight. They just don't have a ton of weapons out there. Tim Hardaway left the game in the third quarter. And like we said, Luka was kind of shut down. I think from the Nets, there was a couple parts of the game where they probably could have went up 30 quicker. And that would have kind of taken the game completely out of hand for Dallas, where they almost let them, I don't want to say stay in the game, because at no point were you really scared they're going to lose, but they were able to get it within 18-16. You want to see them put the kill, you know, the full kill in, and they did that in the fourth quarter. So really not much of me to critique. Like, I'd be kind of crazy to critique, you know, a 39-point win.
Now, I have a question. This is just from being observant. How come Jared Allen only gets, you know, a little run time? You know, only 20 minutes tonight. I mean, seemed like he was solid. Only one personal foul, wasn't in foul trouble. Why so little of Jared Allen?
I think tonight they just were up so big, they wanted to rest him because fatigue's been a real issue for Jared Allen. You know, he's not the biggest guy battling against bigs every night. I think if the Nets can get him any rest, they will. You know, sometimes this season it's been foul trouble, it's been bad matchups, but overall you have to remember he's only 20 years old and he's a thin dude.
I mean, having the Nets finally healthy, this has to feel good, right, as we enter March and going into April?
Yeah, this felt good because you saw a lot of guys just really in sync, and I think a lot of people really liked the rotation tonight. You know, the main rotation was Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, Allen Crabbe, Rodion Skruitz, Damari Carroll, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Ed Davis. And I think that's probably the rotation that everyone liked to see on a regular basis.
So obviously a very good win tonight. Nick, what are some of your final thoughts before we head on out of here?
I think the most important thing is for them to kind of carry over the intensity they had in this game at certain points, especially defensively, putting a body into the offensive players, even off ball, just making life difficult, and then continue to attack the paint, push the ball up floor, get those mismatches, get to the lane. You know, points in the paint was a big factor tonight.
For sure. I mean, just looking at the Nets schedule, this is a really important win. These next two games are really important because after that Detroit Detroit game. They get a really tough West Coast stretch of teams, and then you got the top of the East to finish out. This Nets schedule is no joke, so these next week or so is going to be vital.
Yeah, and the one positive about the end of the schedule, maybe they could get lucky and some of those teams might have their playoff spots already locked up, but that's wishful thinking.
For sure.
But as always, you know, a pleasure talking hoops with you, Corey. You check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.